Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Mesechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. We're holding at the end of Lamed Zayin Amud Beit, and four lines up from the bottom. Last words on the line. So yesterday we had this fascinating machloket about when the Torah talks about Moshavot. Does it mean to include other Moshavot besides Eretz Yisrael? Or does it mean Dafka when you're fully settled in Eretz Yisrael? Meaning that it would be after 14 years, which is Yerusha V'Nachala, the time it took to fight the wars and to give out all of the Chalokim in Eretz Yisrael. So those were totally opposite approaches, right? Moshavot could mean even more settled, or Moshavot could mean even totally outside of Eretz Yisrael. So today the Gemara wants to understand, how do we work out the history of the Knesset of Eretz Yisrael in terms of the Yisurim, agricultural Yisurim, based on this machlokes. So Bishlam Lamandi Amar Moshav means Komakom Shatem Yoshvim Hashma, Aino Dichti Vayochlu Me'avur Ha'aretz B'mokrat HaPesach. Since it says that they only were able to eat from the crops that had been growing in Eretz Yisrael that year, they had to wait until after the opening of Pesach. Apparently, they weren't allowed to eat before. So, mimochrat Pesach ochlu, mikora lo ochlu. So, apparently, they needed to first be makriv the omer, and then to be matir. Why would that be? If you hold that you need to wait 14 years before there's an iser of chodesh, they could have eaten right away when they came into Eretz Yisrael on the same day. Why would they wait till Mimochrat HaPesach? So if you hold that Moshavot means even in Chutz Laretz, I mean, Eretz Yisrael is certainly not less than Chutz Laretz, so if you're Chayev in the Chodesh Iser immediately, so that would explain why they had to wait until Mimochrat HaPesach. So that would be the explanation of first needing to be Makir of the Omer, and then being able to eat the Chodesh V'Hadarach. But if you hold, according to the Mandi Yoma, that Moshavot means that it takes 14 years to become Chayev, and it's only Li'acher Yerusha V'Yeshiva, why didn't they immediately eat Me'avor Ha'aretz? Why did they have to wait till Mimochrat HaPesach? Well, according to that approach, we'll have to say they didn't eat because they didn't need to eat. It doesn't mean that they didn't eat. It means Lo Avet Tzricher. Dichtiv uvnei Yisrael ochlu et haman 40 shana ad boam el aretz noshevet. Et haman ochlu ad boam el ktsei eretz kenai. What does that mean they didn't need to eat? Well, if you analyze the psukim, you will see that apparently they still had man, and therefore there was no need to eat me'avur ha'aretz. Now, that's not so poshut, because they had to eat matzah. How did they eat matzah? They didn't have anything to eat for matzah. So the Yerushalmi says that ein achinami. But why wouldn't we say that we should have the mitzvah of matzah being doicha the iser of the chodesh, if you hold according to the Mandi Yoma that chodesh was already aser? So the answer ein achinami, that it was a gezera kezayas rishon otu kezayas sheni. That is fascinating. You already made a gezeirah. You might eat more than a kezayas. More than a kezayas is not necessary, and therefore wouldn't be esedei chaloisase. But the other Teretz Tosfos suggests is that maybe an iser, that a mitzvah that is there from before Kabbalas HaTorah, and that is the mitzvah of eating matzah, is not deicha aloitase that was said after Kabbalas HaTorah. Fascinating issue, right? Because it puts into focus the different levels of chiyuv and the interrelationship of the chiyuv HaTorah when they're given as part of Kabbalas HaTorah and when they're just additional mitzvahs. That's an amazing teretz. Okay. Anyway, but let's analyze this pasuk. The pasuk contradicts itself. It says that the Bnei Yisrael ate the man for 40 years, and it was until they came to a settled place. And then it says they ate the man until they came to the edge, meaning the border. Well, which way is it? I mean, if Shalamar Boam Alaretz Noshaves, You can't say that it means literally that they had to come into Eretz Yisrael itself, because the Pasuk says at the border of Eretz Canaan, so they weren't in Eretz Yisrael itself. And on the other hand, you cannot say that it means they only ate man up to the border, because it says Ad Bormel Eretz Noshaves. So they ate until they actually came into Eretz Yisrael itself. So how do we explain this? Haketzah. The way to understand it is like this. We know that the man was there only b'schus Moshe. So the moment that Moshe died, there was no longer any man that was yoreid. So b'shiva ba'adar met Moshe u'pasak man milyoreid. On the seventh day of Adar, we'll see how we know that. Moshe made it. So Moshe died, the man stopped coming down. But as opposed to during the time when the man was coming every day, that you had to eat only the man of that day, and the man could not survive being kept overnight in the fridge. Here, the last day that the man came down, that man they were able to keep, and all you mistapkim miman shebiklehem ad shishasar b'nisan. They were able to utilize that man all the way till the time that they were able to eat. Already, even according to the other man yomer, they would have been able to eat their new chadash. Now, there's another brisa about this, and it says, "V'nei Yisrael achlu et hamon 40 shana." Now, that doesn't make sense, because it isn't 40 shana. Achi 40 shana achlu. It's really 40 shana less 30 days achlu, because l'maisa the man began a month afterwards. We're over there. That's when they started complaining that we don't have anything to eat. And apparently, if there was 15, already it was the 15th day of the second month, as it says, Beferish, so then how exactly do we understand that here it was an entire 40 years from Nisan, Mechorata Pesach, but the man didn't start falling the Mochrat HaPesach. So how do you explain that? V'chi 40 shana achlu, alo 40 shana chasa 30 yom achlu. Elo lomar lecha, ugot shotziu mimitzrayim, ta'amu behen ta'am man. They still were able, magically, to taste man in the matzahs that were in at the time they went out of Mitzrayim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was already giving them the keyach of the man and their spirituality and the way that they tasted and related to things in Olam Hazeh. So we're calling that an achila of the man also. Now, let's go into the analysis of the years over here. Now, there's a little bit of a very obvious question. It says the Beferish in Yoshua, Vayishbot haman mimochrat haPesach, v'lo haya od livnei Yisrael man. So Tosha says, I mean, what are we going around here trying to figure out, like, what is the first pasuk, part of the pasuk, and how isn't that not a steer? It's a beferish pasuk that they still had man up till mimochrat haPesach. So what are you asking? So it says, enochinami. Maybe we didn't want to learn it out from a pasuk in Yoshua when we had a pasuk in the Torah itself that would have taught us this. Okay, but in any event, why did we say before that b'shiva ba'adar met Moshe? How exactly do we know that? Well, Tanya Idach, b'shiva ba'adar met Moshe, u'b'shiva ba'adar nolad. Now, we just had this in last week's laning, of course. Ben me'av esrim shana nochi hayom. As Rashi says, hayom noladati, and hayom ani met. So how do we know that that day that Moshe was referring to is the seventh day of Adar? Well, let's put together all of the psukim, and it will be clear. So it says over there in Avot Moav, Vayomot Shom Moshe Eved Hashem, and afterwards it says, Vayivku B'nei Yisrael Et Moshe B'Avot Moav Shloshim Yom. So for 30 days, they were sitting in Avelis over the death of Moshe. And then in Yoshua, it says, Vayiachre Mot Moshe Eved Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yoshua, and he says, Moshe Avdi Meit V'ata Kum Avor. So now you, Yoshua, get up, cross the Yarden, and Ivru betocha machane v'tzivu atam lemor, go around and tell everybody, get ready, pack your suitcases, have enough food for the next 3 days. Ba'od shloshet yamim tavru et hayarden. We're crossing over into Eretz Yisrael in 3 days. Okay, so what have we got over here? We've got a total of 33 days prior to the day that is given, the 10th of Nisan. So 30 days of Moshe's Bechiyah and the 3 days that Yoshua told them, about Shloshet Yamim, that's 33 days. So now let's go backwards, 33 days from the 10th of Nisan. So Tseimim Shloshim Shlosha Yamim Lemafreya, and where do you get to? The 7th day of Adar. So that must mean that the Avelut on Moshe began on Shiva Badar. Uminayin Shebi Shiva Badar Nolad Moshe. Okay, now I know when he died. Why does the Brisa say that he was also born on the 7th of Adar? Shenemar Vayomer Aleihem Bein Me'ah Ve'Esrim Shana Anochi Hayom Lo Chalod Latzeit Lavosh Etabed Lomar Hayom. What is the point of mentioning today? I mean, yeah, he'd say, I am 120 years old. Melame, this teaches us that today was his birthday. That's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshevu Mimalei Shenotayim Shel Tzadikim Miyom Liyom Mimichodesh El Chodesh. Shenemar Mispar Yamecha Amalei. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was given a time to live, it was a time to live fully. Those 120 years from beginning to end, because each year of life is a full unit for a person to be mashlin that shana. That's why it says, "Bispar yamecha amalei." Tanya Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, there were shalosh mitzvot that nitztavu Yisrael beknisatan la'aretz. There were three mitzvahs that have to do with the actual dinim of mitzvahs atluyos ba'aretz, and they were mechuyev the moment that they came in to the Oretz, even though these mitzvahs need land to be worked on. They would have been nohagot bein ba'aretz bein b'chutz la'aretz, but they didn't have any land that they had planted, obviously, in chutz la'aretz in the Midbar. So l'maisa, they ended up having immediately three things to worry about as soon as they came into Eretz Yisrael. But these mitzvahs, had they been in a settled area before, they would have had these mitzvahs before also, because the Nohagot Bein Baretz Bein Bechutz La'aretz. So what are we talking about? We're talking about Chodesh, Orla, and Kilayim. Now, it makes sense that they would all be Chal even outside of Eretz Yisrael, surprisingly. Vuhadin Shiyinagu. Because, look, if Chodesh applies, in other words, even though we haven't talked about Orla and Kilayim. Now, we've talked about a lot of the mitzvahs that we would think, based on some of the klolim, would not be noyeg in Chutz La'aretz. So we mentioned that we do have the issue of Orla and Kilayim, and the question is, do we add the other Isurim? Is Chodesh also considered to apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? And that's how we got into our whole discussion of the Moshavot and the meaning of Moshavot. So now, says Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, it seems quite clear, because apparently Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds that wherever it says Bechol Moshavotechem, indeed it means everywhere, and it says Beferish Chukat Olam LaDorotechem Bechol Moshavotechem. So this was the Shita that we were Derech before, that is the opposite of the Shita that holds that Bechol Moshavotechem means only in Eretz Yisrael, but after it becomes a Moshav of 14 years, fine. So he, according to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so then if Moshavot means everything, which is the Chumrah of Rabbi Eliezer, the way we came out, so then it's a Kal Vachomer. If Chodesh, which is not an Isser forever, because Chodesh ends at the 16th day of Nisan, and then all the new grain at the end of the day becomes Mutter. And furthermore, the Ein Isuro Isur Hana'ah. Also, Chodesh, you're allowed to feed to your animals. You're just not allowed to eat it. And what's even more is Yesh Heter Li Isuro. It means that even where it is also, so let's say it's the morning of the 16th of Nisan, right? So it doesn't go automatically, the Isur doesn't go away. But you can bring the Korban HaOmer, and you can be Matir the Isur. And even so, this Isser is so chomor that it's noeg all over the earth, and it's noeg bein baretz or bein b'chutz laretz. So Kilayim, which is much more chomor, Kilayim, once something is usher as Kilayim, it is usher forever. So it's Yisuro, Yisuro Olam. And not only that, if something is Kiloya Kerem, it's Isur, is Yisur Hana'a. And furthermore, there is nothing that you can possibly do to be mater the Isur of Kilayim. Once something is usher, it's always going to be usher. So isn't it obvious that Eino Din Shinagu Bein Ba'aretz Bein B'chutz La'aretz? And you can use this same Kavachomer for Orla, not in all three issues, but only in two of the three issues. So now this is a big question that we've discussed many times in the past. Big Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what are the two out of the three issues? Let's remember what the issues are. First of all, there's the question, as we said, is it an Israelam? That's one. Secondly, is it an Isra Hana'a? And third, is there Yesh Heter Le'isuro? Now, the Gemara is arguing that two of those things, but not all three, are part of the Kal V'chomer that we would say as well for Orla. So how is that actually true? So Rashi learns that Orla is not an Isra Olam because of the fact that it's only Usur during the first 3 years. But after that, it's not Usur. To which Tosfos says, that's crazy. If something is Orla, then it's Orla forever. I mean, you're just telling me that it isn't Orla if it's after the 3 years. So what does that have to do with Isser Orla not being an Isser Orla? Of course it is an Isser Orla. So this doesn't make any sense, Dinus Tosfos. There must be that in Isser Orla, it certainly is. And the question would be whether, now this is a remarkable kind of issue, and that is, what is the din, Tainus Tosfos, of a Shana Revi'it? So the Rabbeinu Tam understands, this is an amazing insight, and it's apparently not true according to all of the Rishonim, that in the fourth year, Neta Revoi is essentially an Isur Orla that has a solution. What's the solution? You can be paid at it, as if it was Maaser Sheni, right? So in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Neta Revoi is a form of Orla. Only it's an Orla that Yesh Heter Le'isurai. So that means that Orla itself has a Heter Le'isurai under certain circumstances. The circumstances being that it has to be the fourth year and you're paid at it. So that's where it has a Heter Le'isurai. But the other two things, that it's an Isra'ila and that it's an Isra Hana'a, that you would have. Now, this is fascinating because everybody concludes on this basis that the Rabbeinu Tam is saying that Neta Revoi is an Isra Hana, because it says you could have two out of the three, right? An Isra Isra Hana'a, but Kol Shekein Orla, which is an Isra Hana'a. The problem is that Bepashtas, there's no Isra Hana'a, Neta Revoi, because it's similar to Meiser. This is the big question. Is Neta Revoi a Meiser-like halacha, or is it an Orla-like halacha? And of course, as you can imagine yourselves, there is a way out by suggesting that although the Rabbeinu Tam is saying Yesh Heter Le'isuro, that doesn't mean it's going to have all of the dinim of Orla, even legabe Isur Hana'a. It simply means that there's an aspect of Orla which has Heter Le'isurai, and then, of course, Orla in general is Osir B'Hana. Okay, so he's just pointing out that you can't utilize all three, which would not necessarily imply that the Rabbeinu Tam holds it as an Isra Hana'a in Neta Revoi. Okay, I hope that was clear. But the point is that we definitely have a Kal V'chomer in at least two issues in which Orla is more Chomer than Chadash. And therefore, if we're going to be derech the word Moshavot by Chadash to mean that Chadash is also B'chutz La'aretz, then obviously Orla and Kilayim would also be Noeg B'chutz La'aretz midiraisa. Whereas Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Kol mitzvah shenitztavu Yisrael kodem knisatam la'aretz. If this mitzvah was knowing in chutz la'aretz, meaning that it's a chovas haguf, so then it is noheg as bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. But if the mitzvah is a chovas haguf, and it only became chayev li'achar knisatam la'aretz, eino noheget ela ba'aretz. The only thing that are excluded from this rule is a new exclusion. What is that? Hashmatat ksafim v'shiluach avadim. So the only thing that this is not true about is that Shemitah, the part about Shemitah that cancels out all of the debts that you have during the year, during the 7 years, and the Shiluach Avadim, that an Eved Ivri goes out in Yovel, even if he hasn't worked his full 6 years, those things, Afa Pishin Etztavu Aleim, Li Achash Knisos and Laoretz, even though the mitzvah only came after Knisos Laoretz, nonetheless, we'll see, the Gemara is going to discuss over here about why Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon was so sure that there were not mitzvahs in the Midbar, but we'll leave that for a moment. And afal pish, and it's tabu alim la'achar knisatan la'aretz, la'maisa, the mitzvah today is bein ba'aretz, bein b'chutz la'aretz. So in other words, since he says only these two, so he's saying that chodash, orla, and kilayim are only chal in Eretz Yisrael. So then that means that Rebbe Lazar, who is the son of Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, does not agree with his father. His father just said a minute ago that when Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, they became chayev in these mitzvahs that are l'maisenoig, even in chutz la'aretz, and that was chadash, orla, and kilayim, all midiraisa. And Rabbi Lazar, his son, says, no, the only thing, there's no mitzvahs that are chovas hakarka, that are noig in chutz la'aretz. The only difference that you could talk about would be the mitzvahs that, although they only came into effect when you came into Eretz Yisrael, two mitzvahs that have to do with Shemitah and Yovel, those two mitzvahs are indeed chal all over. Okay, amazing. So they're very, very different from each other. Now, ask the Gemara, this doesn't make any sense. Why did Rebbe Lozer have to say that Shemitah's ksofim is except? It's not except. Hashmatas Ksofim is a chovat haguf. Hashmatas Ksofim doesn't have anything to do with land, does it? And therefore, it would only stand to reason that it would apply all over. So why in the world did he say, except for Hashmatas Ksofim? Hashmatas Ksofim is part of the general rule. Something that is not land dependent is actually chal all over the world. Ah, I'll tell you why. The reason that Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Shimon had to say that this is chutz, it's an exception, is because of the Braisa. Because a Braisa says beferish that there was no chiyuv of giving up your debts before coming into Eretz Yisrael. Detan. Rebbe Omer, v'zeh dvar hashmita shamot. What does that mean, zed dvar hashmitat shamot? So the din over there is shamot ko ba'al ma'ashe yado, asher yashe b'reyehu, lo yigos et reyehu, and so on. What is the idea of dvar hashmitat shamot? Therefore, what we have to understand is that there are two interlinked shmitot. B'shtei shmitot ha-katu b'daber. Achat shmitat karka, ve'achat shmitat ksafim. It means that the element of Shemitah is related to the Shemitah's Ksofim as well. By the way, you should just know that some of the Mefarshim explain that the real drasha, this is just a cute way of saying it, Dvar HaShemitah Shmot, two Shemitahs, Shemitah Shmot. But the deeper understanding of the language is very beautiful. Zed Dvar HaShemitah. HaShemitah means the Shemitah that you know very well, because we've been discussing it for years. We had it back in the Chukotai. This is something that immediately you knew about. And we had it on Har Sinai. So you know about that Shemitah, right? So Zedvar HaShemitah, I want to add another din of Shemitah, the one you know about. There's a new din. Shmot kol ba'al ma'ashe yado. You also have to get rid of your loans. So that's the deeper understanding of how the Torah is making the din of Hashmatat Ksafim dependent on the din of Shmitat Karka. It's not just a cute Shmita Shmot. There are two Shmitas and they're both related. So bizman shata mishamet karka, where you need to deal with Shemitah in the land, and you're not allowed to do agricultural activities. So then you have a din of Ashmatat Ksafim at the time. Now, before Klal Yisrael came into Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah didn't go into effect. And Bizman Shi'iyata Mishamet Karka, Iyata Mishamet Ksafim. But if you're not in Eretz Yisrael, then there was no Chiyav of Shemitah at all. And therefore, even the Chiyav that has nothing to do with the land is also not Chal. And you don't have to give up on your debts. So in other words, according to what Rebbe is saying, Shemitah Ksafim did not apply before Knisa La'aretz, even though it is a Chiyav Aguf. Because of that, he had to say this is not part of the general rule that anything that just goes into effect when you come into Eretz Yisrael does not apply all over the earth. It is an exception to the rule, because this actually did come into effect only when you came into Eretz Yisrael. But that's because of this special drasha. Just by the way, you should know that according to Tosfos, the meaning of the two Shemitot is the relationship of Yovel, and not the Shemitah's Karka. Shemitah's Karka means over here the Avodas HaKarka, which according to Tosfos, it's talking about the din of the giving back the Karka. Look, in the Pasuk, it doesn't say Bizman, and it doesn't say Bamokum. It just says Shemitah Shmot, right? Now, do I read that to mean that only at a time that you're chayiv in one, you're chayiv in the other? Or perhaps it should mean only in a place where you're chayiv in one. So since you're only chayiv in the agricultural aspects of Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael, so therefore, maybe it's saying you should only be meshamek your debts in Eretz Yisrael. But outside of Eretz Yisrael, b'makom she'inata meshamek karka, einata meshamek ksafim. Isn't that perfectly reasonable? So how does he know that it should be applied in terms of all over the world if it's a time when in Eretz Yisrael it would apply? Ah, because at the end it says, Talmud Lomar, ki kara shmita l'ashem mikol makom. No. Don't use that. I'm going to make it broader than you think. I'm going to broaden the din of Ashmatas Ksafim by telling you, look, ki kara shmita l'ashem. So therefore, I cannot make it dependent as a issue of the time and the place. We need to learn that it only applies to one aspect. So before there's a din of Shemitah's Karka, there's no din of Shemitah's Ksafim. But once there is a din, ki kara Shemitah l'Hashem, wherever you are on the earth. Okay, and what about the other thing that Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon said is an exception to the klal of the din of Chiyuv Haguf? Why is Shiluach Avadim considered to be a Chovas HaKarka? Isn't it obviously a Chovas HaGuf? Shiluach Avadim, that is a Chovat HaGuf. So it was already part of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Shimon's statement. Anything which is a Chovas HaGuf, your Chayev, all over the world. So why is this an exception to his rule about coming into Eretz Yisrael? The answer is the Gemara, because I would have thought, since it says, now you'll notice that the Americans did not darshan this pasuk at all this way, because the Gemara wants to say, Ukrasim dror ba'aretz is only ba'aretz and not b'chutz la'aretz. Ba'aretzim b'chutz la'aretz lo. The Americans put this pasuk on the Liberty Bell. So they obviously held Ukrasim dror ba'aretz refers to all over the United States. And therefore, they're not derish only in Eretz Yisrael. But this is a Havamina. So you might have thought that this is only in Eretz Yisrael and not in Chutz La'aretz. Therefore, continues on with the pasuk to say, Yovel hi mikol makom. It's for all over the earth. So Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, wants to make it very clear. Don't be derish the pasuk like this, because Yoveli means that it applies across the earth. But so then how do you explain the fact that it says ba'aretz? Ah, that's the whole point, you see. Bizman shahad dror noig ba'aretz noig b'chutz la'aretz. In other words, when you have Klal Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the dinim of Yovel are chal And dinim of yovel are only chal when it's ba'aretz l'chol yoshvea. That's exactly the point. So you need to have all of Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael for there to be the drawer. But if ain drawer, if freedom does not apply in Eretz Yisrael, so then it doesn't apply outside of Eretz Yisrael either. It's only where the right moment is in Eretz Yisrael. Then there's this kedusha on the earth that comes from that, which is the kedusha of Yovel. Now, Lamaisa, we have a Mefereshe Mishnah in Mesechet Orla. The Mishnah reads like this: Tanata, Hachadash Asur Min HaTorah B'chol Mokom. So first of all, we have a D'oraisa. Why? It says B'chol Mokom because it says B'chol Moshevotechem. So that's a given, and that's Min HaTorah. Orla is also B'chol Mokom, but that's not Min HaTorah. Okay, so apparently we're not darshaning the Kal V'chomer of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Orla, that is a halacha. Now, it's not clear what we mean by halacha. Usually halacha means halacha l'mashbi Sinai, but we'll see if that's what it means. Kilayim is noeg also b'chul tzaret, but only midivrei sofrim. So what do we mean when we say a halacha? Amrev yudha amr Shmuel, it's a hilchata midina. It is basically a minag that they were mekabel on themselves when they went into Golos to keep the dinim of Orla, but it is not halacha l'meshe Sinai. And because of that, it's not even really a drabbanan. In other words, you wouldn't be chayav makas mardas if you were over on it. It's just a kabbalah that people made on themselves. Whereas Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's halacha l'meshe Sinai. And says Ula, how do you understand, he says to Rabbi Yehuda, how do you understand that it would make sense to say that it's a Medina halacha. Bishlema ledidi damina halacha l'meshe Sinai. Look, I explained that there's a big chumrah in Orla because essentially it's a diraisa based on halacha l'meshe Sinai. Masha'in kein kilayim, kilayim is only a derabbanan. So that would explain why we see in the Mishnah Gufa a tremendous difference between Suffolk Orla in Chutzlaretz and Suffolk Kilayim in Chutz La'aretz, because we're much more machmir on Suffolk Orla than we are on Suffolk Kilayim. And that would make sense, because as I'm saying, Suffolk Orla would be halacha l'meshe Sinai, and therefore you have to be machmir on it. That's not, because the Mishnah goes on to say, Suffolk Orla, if it's in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure whether this is Orla, meaning I don't know whether the tree is 3 years old yet, or I don't know where this fruit came from. This guy is selling fruits in a stand outside of his orchard. He's got some fruits that are Arla, some fruits that are not Arla. So, okay, if I don't know, so since it's a D'oraisa, it's a Suffolk D'oraisa l'chumra, that's in Eretz Yisrael. How about if you have a Suffolk in Surya? So Surya, remember, is not fully part of Eretz Yisrael. So if it's in Surya, where we gave it some of the dinim of Eretz Yisrael, and it's close to Eretz Yisrael, and people could get mixed up, so we gave very often chumras in Surya that do not apply to Chutz La'aretz in general. So in Surya, you can be mekel. And what is that? You can utilize Suffolk Orla. In Chutz La'aretz, you can be even more mekel. So b'chutzlaretz yored v'lokeach u'bavachilo yirenu loket. In chutzlaretz, you can actually go down to a fruit stand where you know right behind the guy are trees that are clearly orla, and you don't know whether this person who is selling these fruit, I mean, you didn't see him take the orla, but it's pretty darn likely that he's selling orla if I see orla trees behind him. I mean, nonetheless, as long as I don't know that it's Orla, I am actually allowed to buy from him directly. Mashenkaim by Kelayim, it says, that if you have a vineyard and it's got these veggies in it, and there's a vegetable stand right outside on the street, outside of this vineyard, and nonetheless, I'm not sure that it came from there. So in Eretz Yisrael, of course, where it's a D'oraisa, so you're certainly not allowed to buy it because it's a Suffolk D'oraisa l'chumra. In Surya, it's mutter. In Chutz La'aretz, you can even watch the guy or tell the guy, pick me some veggies. And I mean, you know that they're actually kelayim, as long as you don't pick them yourselves. It's actually machlokas how to learn this. Some learn that it means as long as you don't see him actually picking directly, and you won't really be 100% sure that it was the kelayim. So we see that benogeya chutz laaretz, kelayim is more kal than orla. This is kelayim of klei hakeren, which is aser. Okay, says Zula, that makes sense according to me, because indeed kelayim is a derabbanan and orla is a loch lemeshim yisinai. But according to you, Rav Yehuda, my dear, how do you explain the difference between orla and kelayim? Both of them are basically not d'oraisas. It ought to say in the Mishnah in both cases. Oh, Zev, I mean, I'm not sure how you would want to have it. You could have both of them being very mako, either zevizeh, both kelayim and orla besofik. You could be yored velo keach. You could buy it directly, or you could go even further and say zevizeh yored velo keach. You can have it actually pick it for you as long as you don't see it. But why is it different? According to you, there's no basis for the difference. Says the Gemara, you're absolutely right. Remember that Rav Yehuda was saying over Shmuel's halacha, right? And it was according to Shmuel that he said it's not halacha l'moshe misinai, and ein achinami. Shmuel himself told Rav Anna that when he, and Rav Anna was saying over this Mishnah, he said, no, you're saying it wrong. If you say the Mishnah correctly, either say in both cases, O zevizeh yored velo keach, O zevizeh yored velo keach, but you cannot make a difference between the two because they're basically exactly the same. So therefore, according to Shmuel, ein achinami, it makes sense, aliba de Rabbi Yehuda, that both kilayim and orla are not the araisa in chutz la'aretz.